Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf chaf. We are holding on daf yud tes amud beis. We are 6 lines from the end of the page. Ksiv palti uksiv palti el. 6 lines from the end of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha LaShalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should return home safely. And is also sponsored by Esti and Avi Goldstein, Lila Nishmas, their beloved son, Zachary Goldstein, Chaim Tzvi Ben Avram, on his 6th yard site, which was this past Shabbos. Zachary's neshama should have an aliyah. We miss him very, very much. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. We are going to discuss today, first of all, the great willpower of Palti Ben Laish. We started to talk a little bit about Palti Ben Laish yesterday, so we're going to compare him and his willpower to the willpower of some other important people who also expressed a great deal of restraint in times, in very trying times. Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to talk about Avelus, as it's experienced by a king, when a king loses a relative. That's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion of David HaMelech's behavior after the death of Avner ben Ner. The Gemara is going to have two opinions about what a dargesh is. The Mishnah is going to say that a melech sits on a dargesh at a Sudas Avra. What exactly is it? Then we're going to challenge the different opinions. Then the Gemara, the Mishnah on Amud Beis, is going to talk about the powers that a king has in a time of war, as far as even choosing to go to war and the spoils of war. And then the Gemara is going to discuss Parshas Melech, that when the Jewish people requested a king, and Shmuel told them, okay, but this is what a king is going to be allowed to do. So first of all, is that true? Is Kol Amru Parshas Melech Melech Mutarbo? That which Shmuel told them, that told them a king is allowed to do, is he in fact allowed to do all those things? And was the request for a king an appropriate request, or was it an inappropriate request? Then the Gemara Beis is going to talk about the 3 mitzvos that we are commanded in upon entering Eretz Yisrael, and what order those mitzvos are supposed to be done in. And that then the daf is going to end with a discussion of the trajectory of the career of Shlomo HaMelech, that how vast his powers were, how much of those powers were lost, did he ever get his power back, as far as Shlomo HaMelech's career as a melech. So let's begin again, 6 lines from the end of the page. Ksiv paltiel, that we find a stir in the psukim about the fellow's name. It says in Shmuel Aleph that Vishal Nasanas Michal Bito Eshas David Le Palti Ben Laish Asher Migalim, that he was given to she was given to Palti Ben Laish. But it also says Veishlach Hishposhes Veichemim Ishmeim Paltiel ben Laish. So it's a steer in the psukim. What was his real name? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan Palti Shmo. His name was Palti. V'lamen nikra Shmo Paltiel. Why do they call him Paltiel? Shepalto kel min avera. That our Kodesh Baruch Hu saved him from an avera, from stumbling in avera, because Michal was David's wife. She was asura to him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped him to refrain from being nichshal in Neshes Ish. Ma also, what did Paltiel do in order to avoid being nichshal in Neshes Ish? Na atzcherev beino leveina. He stuck a sword between himself and her. Amar kolosu b'davar zeh yidoker b'cherev zeh. And he said to, he used that as a symbol that anyone who would do such a thing, anyone who would be with this woman when she's in Neshes Ish, deserves to be to be stabbed by this sword. So the Yad Eliyahu raises the question, why Dafka Becherev, which is a Misa Sayif L'chara, someone who's Baal Eish Asish, that's not Yidaka Becherev Zah, it's Misa Sabachanak. So he writes that Baal Leha is going to be Chayiv in Herig as a Mori Lamalchus, because she's Eish As David. And if you hold Herig is more Chamor, he was going with the more Chamor, right? It's a Machlokas, whether Herig is more Chamor than Chanak. So if you hold it was more Chamor, he was going with the more Chamor Dika, Onesh, that he would incur for being with Eishas David, not Stam and Eishas Ish. Eishas Ish would have been Chenek. It's also interesting that we say his name is Paltiel because HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped him. And then the Gemara says, oh yeah, how so? And it describes what he did, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps those who help themselves. Meaning, yes, he did this and he tried his best, but it's still a superhuman type of feat to be able to be with her for so long alone, be yichud, and being told this is your wife and you're allowed to take her, and still overcome that yetzer hara. So that requires a sense of siyata d'shmaya. So asking Mara Vaksiv, but doesn't it say vayelich ita isha? So the fact that the Torah calls her calls him isha sounds like he was boel her. So it says Mara, no, shenasala ki isha, that he treated her and as respectfully and as lovingly as a man would treat his wife, but he didn't physically do anything with her. Vaksiv, but it says also that aloch v'chol, that he cried about his wife that left him. So it sounds like that he cried over her because she was his wife and he lived with her like a wife. Now ala mitzvah da'alzaminei, he was crying over the fact that he lost the opportunity to do this great mitzvah of withstanding this enormous nisayon. So the loss of the mitzvah is what he was crying about. The Yad Ramah writes that since he was kovish as yitzro, it's ma'al of akasav, as if he did a dvar mitzvah. The Gemara says in Maseches Makos that kala yoshev lo avar avera nos lo schar ka'osa mitzvah, that if a person refrains from doing an avera, he gets the schar of an osa mitzvah. So he refrained from doing this avera for which there was a very, very great yetzer hara. Then the pasuk goes on to say, it says ve'ilch ita isha halochu v'chol achareha ad bacharim. So shenasu shneim kibachurim shlotamu tambia. What it means is that they were both like young people that never were toim tambia because they were aser to one another. So the Rabbi Yochanan says when we compare the gvura of Palti to other people, we'll discover the following: tokfo shel Yosef, the great strength of Yosef Hatzadik that he's praised with by overcoming his yetzer hara with Eishes Potiphar, and vasnuso shel Boaz would be a small matter for the temptation that Boaz faced, because had Boaz faced the Nisayon that Yosef faced, it would not have even been considered a Nisayon compared to what Boaz faced. Boaz faced something much stronger. Tokfo shel Boaz, and the great praise and strength of Boaz, that he overcame his Yetzer Hara, and Vasnusu shel Palti ben Laish, would be like nothing for what Palti ben Laish was facing. How so? Tokfo shel Yosef and Vasnusu shel Boaz. Boaz, how do I know that Boaz had a greater nisayon? Because the pasuk says about Boaz, and there was an isha shocheves meraglosav. So my vayila face, what does it mean vayila face? Amarav shenasa basaro kiroshi lefasos, that his basar was like the head of a turnip, meaning which means he was very aroused. And at a time of his arousal, there was a single girl lying there in the middle of the night. And whereas Yosef never had someone literally lying in his bed at a moment of arousal, Tokfa, and certainly not a single girl where there's a lot of room to be more heter, Tokfa shel Boaz on Vasnusa shel Palti ben Laish, and yet the great willpower of Boaz is nothing for Palti ben Laish, Kedamran, that's what we explained, that he was living with Michal for all that time, and he didn't do anything. So Boaz had a moment, Palti ben Laish had an extended period of time. What does the pasuk mean in the Yeshus Chayil in Mishlei when it says Rabbis Banos Asachayil Vatal Lisal Kulana? Rabbis Banos Asachayil is Yosef and Boaz. Rabbis Banos Asachayil, the people who fought the Melchemes Hayetzer, that's Yosef and Boaz. Vatal Lisal Kulana, Zeb Palti Ben Laish, the one who really most successfully fought the Melchemes Hayetzer, that's Palti Ben Laish. Amrav Shua Menachem and Amrav Yonasan, my dichsiv, what is the pasuk teaching us when it says Sheker Achein Vehevel Ayofi? Sheker Achein Ze Yosef, Vehevel Ayofi Ze Boaz, that they withstood very great tests, but nevertheless, it's Sheker, it's Hevel, in comparison to a much greater test that somebody had to face, Yiras Hashem Hitzis Halal Ze Palti Ben Laish, and that's the test that Palti Ben Laish had to face, which was a much, much greater test. So the Gemara brings other drushos from the very same pasuk, where we're being mishabeach a particular dor that was osik in Torah at a much higher higher level than other generations. Dover Acher, Sheker Achein, said Dorosh al Moshe. Sheker Achein is Moshe Rabbeinu's generation. Ve'avel Yofi, said Dorosh al Yoshua. That's the generation of Yoshua. They learned a lot of Torah in those generations. Oh, but Yiras Hashem, Yitzis Halal, said Dorosh al Chizkiyo. That Chizkiyo Melech, that the Torah learning was on an entirely different level. That's what the Gemara is going to darshan much later in the Masechta about the generation of Chizkiyo that they would light oil in the Bati Midrashos when they were Osek in Torah. Achabot kumi don v'ad ber sheva v'lo matzu ama aretz. That they from don v'ad ber sheva there wasn't a single person who was an ama aretz. Everyone was well versed in Torah. Davra acher sheker achein zed dorosh Moshe v'Yeshua, or maybe sheker achein that's the generations of both Moshe and Yeshua. The hevel yofi zed dorosh Chizkiya. Chizkiya's hevel yofi was still not as great as it could have been. What's the greatest? Yiras Hashem Yitzis Halal zed dorosh Rabbidu Rabbi Loi. That's the generation of Rabbidu Rabbi Loi. Amar lo Rabbidu Rabbi Loi shayushish talmidim miskasim betalas achas v'oskim b'Torah. They had six talmidim covered in one beged while they were learning Torah. They had such poverty at that time, and nevertheless they were still Osek in Torah, and that's the greatest level. That even though the Torah of Chizkiyo was not quite like the Torah of Moshe and Yeshua, the Maharal writes, they didn't have all the goodness and everything that was provided in the Midbar, but they didn't live with such dochak. So Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, living in a generation of such dochak, that's the ultimate Yiras Shamayim. That living with such poverty to still be able to have such dedication to Torah, so it's not necessarily about the level of Torah, like the first comparison with Moshe to Yeshua to Chizkiyo. This is about the level of Gashmius, that as the level of Gashmius goes down, the level of Ruchnius becomes all the more impressive. So says the Mishnah now, Meis l'meis, let's say the king loses a relative. Einu yotze mipesach platrin shalo. He does not leave his palace. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, imrotza lotze sachar amita yotze, that if he wants to be malav in the mita, he can. Shekein motzin b'david, sheyat sachar mita so shal Avner. That because when Avner was killed, we find that David HaMelech followed the mita. He went to the Levaya, right after Shaul HaMelech died, Avner was Mamlech Ishboshes, Shaul HaMelech's son, in his place, whereas Shevet Yehuda was Mamlech David HaMelech. And then Avner got angry at Ishboshes, and he came to David to be Mekabel his Malchus, and when he returned from David, Yoav killed Avner. So David attended the Levaya of Avner. Shenemar, because the Pasuk describes in Shmuel Beis, V'Amelech David, Holech HaCharamita. So you see, apparently a Melech is allowed to go to Levaya. So Amlo Lacham said, Lo aya dover ella lefayis es ha'am. That the fact that he followed the mitzvah of Avner, that was only that people should realize that he didn't order for Avner to be killed. It was going to start a civil war. Everyone thought that Avner was on Shaul's team and on Ishbosheth's side, and now Avner is joining, and David was taking revenge against him for that time that he spent on the other side, and it was going to start a civil war. So David wanted to let the people know that they shouldn't be angry at him. He did not order the death of Avner. He did not tell Yoav to go and kill Avner. Ukshem Avner also, and when they feed the Suda Savra to a melech, everyone sits on the ground. He sits on something called a dargash. We said by a Kohen Gadol that he sits on a safsal. This is different than a safsal. A melech sits in a more covetic place than a dargash. So what we see over here is that the Mishnah says that a melech who loses a relative is eino yotze mi being pesach platrin to be melave. And certainly, l'chora, if it's not his own relative, if it's any other dead body, that he's not that any other person who dies, that l'chora melech should not be attending a levaya. So there is a discussion, what if a person is not a melech, but he's the closest thing, right? Chazal tell us that a chasan is doma l'melech. So if a chasan is doma l'melech, what about a chasan during Shavu Brachos? Just got this shaila yesterday morning. Someone texted me that they were in Eretz Yisrael, someone from the shul was in Eretz Yisrael for a wedding Thursday night, and then his wife's grandfather passed away yesterday. So the chasan Chasson and Kala that they were at the wedding wanted to go to, I guess it was their great uncle's Levaya. Are they allowed to go to the Levaya in Eretz Yisrael? They're Chasson and Kala during Shavar Brachos. So it happens to be that in the Panini Halacha section of the Masifta, it discusses it right here on this Mishnah in today's daf. Is a Chasson allowed to go to a Levaya? So the Pischei Tshuva quotes from a Tshuva Shvus Yaakov, Pischei Tshuva in Yerodeya, that if the Aviya Kala dies, the Betok Shuvus Yimei Mishnah, she should not go to the Levaya for her own father, because a Kala doesn't typically go out of her house during the Shuvus Yimei Mishnah. So if she does it, it's considered Avelus Befaresya, which is Aser B'Yimei Mishnah, just like it's Aser on Regel, because it has a din of Yom Tov. So Pischei Tshuva is Medayek, that Dafka Kala's Aser Latzeis, because she's not Regila Latzeis. But a Chasson who is Regila Latzeis, Mitoch Beiso, would not be a problem to go to the Levaya. And would also follow that Bismanenu, when a Kala is also Regila Latzeis, that a Kala is also allowed to go to the Levaya. However, Stechemer quotes from a Drushus Ma'aril that a Chasson is also not allowed to go to the Beis HaKvaros, and Nagos Rabbi Hertz to the Minhagi Ma'aril, he writes that there was a Chasna on Yom Chamishi, and on that day the Aviv Shal Chasson died, and they brought the Chasson to the Chatzar of the Beis HaKnesses, and then to the Chuppah, and then to the Sunas Nisuin, and the Chasson was not Holy Chachar Amita, he was not in the Beis HaKvaros, and he did not tear Kriya. The Geshar HaChaim writes that even the Maharil, who asked going to the Beis HaKvaros, did not ask her to be Malav of the Mace when you don't go to the Beis HaKvaros. And he's Masig on the Stechemet, that he didn't make a distinction between going to the Levaya and going to the Kvura. The Geshar HaChaim says that's really the distinction. The Chasson Kala are allowed to go to the Levaya, but they're not allowed to go to the Kvura. In Shuvas Betzal HaChachem, Rav Betzal Stern says he thinks that it's mutter for the Chasson to go to the Beis HaKvaros for the Levaya. And he says, I have a Beferish Araya from Pirkei Rav Elazar, because the Pirkei Rav Elazar compares the Chasson to a Melech in the following way. It says, HaChasson Domel LeMelech. Ma HaMelech HaKol Mekalsen Oso Shuvas Yimei HaMishnah. Just like a Melech, everyone says nice things about him, Shuvas Yimei HaMishnah. They say not nice things about him at the Afruf, and then at the Shuvas Yimei HaMishnah, they say nice things about him. So, Ka Chasson HaKol Mekalsen Oso Shuvas Yimei HaMishnah. I'm just saying, that's not really a minhag. So, Ka Chasson, so to a Chasson, then Mekalsen Oso Shuvas Yimei HaMishnah. Ma HaMelech Lovish Big Day Kavod. Just like the Melech wears Big Day Kavod, Ka HaChasson Lovish Big Day Kavod. Ma HaMelech Simcho Mishnah Lefan of Kol Yom, Ka HaChasson Simcho Mishnah Lefan of Kol Shuvas Yomim. Ma HaMelech Eni Yotzi Lushuk Levado, Ka HaChasson Eni Yotzi Lushuk Levado. Just like a Melech doesn't go out alone, a Chasson doesn't go out alone. Remember when I got married, I asked Rav Shapter if I should be attending Minyan that week, people say you shouldn't go to Minyan to stop the tzibur from saying Tachan and this. So you can go, you just can't go alone. Someone's got to pick you up from the apartment. The Chasson's not allowed to go out alone. Ma Melech Panav Meiros Ka Orachama, just like a king's face shines like the Orachama, Ka Chasson Panav Meiros Ka Orachama. So to Chasson's face shines like the light of the sun. Shenemar Vuk Chasson Yotzei Mechupaso. So says B'Sal Chacham, don't you see that Chasson's allowed to go to a Levaya? Where does it say anything about a Chasson going to the Levaya? He says, because it doesn't say he's not allowed to. We're comparing a Chasson to a Melech. And if you're comparing a Chasson to a Melech, and it goes through such a long list of a way, a Chasson is just like a Melech. How do you not have that on the list? So it must be that even though a Melech doesn't go to a Levaya, a Chasson is allowed to go to a Levaya. So I asked Rav Neuberger yesterday in Yeshiva, and he said that his impression was also that that a Chasson is allowed to go to the Levaya, but that the minig is not to go to the Kavura. So at a Chasson last night, I asked Rav Noach Isaac Olbam if he ever heard of anything like this about not going. He said he's allowed to go. He doesn't know anything that says that he's not allowed to go. Okay, so anyway, so back into the Gemara over here. So says Gemara, Tan Rabba, Makom Shnagu Nashim Latzeis Achar Amita. In a place where the minig is that women go Achar Amita, Yotzos. So then they go Achar Amita, they go behind the Mita. Lefnei Amita, Yotzos. If the minig is that they go in front of the Mita, so then that's where they go during the Levaya. Rabbi Yudom or Liolim Nashim Lefnei Amita Yotzos. Then no, women are always Lefnei Amita and not Liachar Amita. And the Raya is, Shekein Mitzin B'David Shiyotza Achar Mita Soshal Avner. We know that David HaMelech was behind Avner's Mita. Shenemar V'Amelech David Holich Achar Amita. So where do you think the women were? They were obviously not where David was. David was not mingling among all the women, so it must be the women were Lefnei Amita and David was Liachar Amita. So Amelech said to Rabbi Yudom, that's not not a raya. Lo aya davar levayis asam v'nespaisu. David HaMelech was attending that levaya in order to be seen by all the people, so that they'll calm down and realize that he did not order the hit on Avner. So he had to make sure he was seen by everybody, men and women alike. So he's going from here to there, says Shedemar, because the pasuk says Ve'yedu kolam b'chol Yisrael ki lo aysameh melech lama, says Avner, that when they saw David mourning at the Levaya, they knew that he was not the one that had ordered for Avner to be killed. Darish Rava, my d'ksiv, what does the pasuk mean when it says Ve'yavo kolam la'avros, says David, k'siv la'achros v'karina la'avros. It says la'achros as if to cut him off, a lashon of hachrasa, to kill him, and we read it la'avros, to provide him a su'uda. So b'tchila la'achros, so originally they wanted to kill David for what they believed he had done to Avner, because they thought that David had ordered for Avner to get killed. Ulubsof, once they saw the level of mourning that he had, lahavroso, they decided instead to provide him with suda savra'a. Amar vidom rav neiman and ash Avner, why was Avner punished for having killed, in that he got killed by Yoav? What did he do wrong to deserve such an onesh, a misa mishuna like that? Because when Shaul was going to kill Novir Kohanim, was going to wipe out and did wipe out the city of Novir Ira Kohanim, he didn't make a macha'a, right? It was based on Doeg's Lashon Hara about the city that they had covered for David as David was running away from Shaul, and Shaul reacted by killing out the entire city, and Avner could have done something about it, he could have said something about it, and he didn't. The description of what happened in Novir Kohanim, David HaMelech laments it as if it's his own fault in Tehillim. David HaMelech describes in Tehillim about how it's because of him that Novir HaKohanim, obviously it wasn't his fault, it was Shaul's fault. Shaul's the one that killed Novir HaKohanim, but that's the derech of tzaddikim to always do cheshbon nefesh about their role in the things that go wrong. So it's Tehillim, so it happens to be Tehillim Perek Nun Beis, it's an easy one to remember, is Nov, Nun Beis. So Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Micha V'lo Ne'na. Rabbi Yitzchak says, that's not why he was killed, but it was because he made a macha'a. In fact, he had made a macha'a against Shaul. Just Shaul didn't listen to him. Ushnein mikra echad darshu. So they both darsh in the same pasuk from which they derive their opinions as to whether he did or did not try to make an objection when Shaul was going to kill Nov, because the pasuk says Ve'ikorin Melech El Avner VeYomer Hakamos Novel Yomus Avner Yedecha Lo Asurus Raglecha Lo Nachashatim Hugashu, that he was saying should Avner die in such a way his arms weren't bound up and his legs weren't tied up, so and he died in such a way. So what's he trying to say? What is David HaMelech trying to say? So Mandi Amar Lo Micha, the one that says that Rav who says that Avner did not make a macha against Shaul, Hachi Kamar. Here's how he understands the pasuk: Yadecha lo asurus, raglecha lo nachashtim hugashu. You were not tied up in chains. You should not have prevented yourself from making a macha against Shaul. You were an adam chashuv. You had the ability. Meaning, you weren't tied up means you had the ability to say something. So you should have. My time lo machiso. So why didn't you make a macha? And therefore, because you didn't make the macha, you deserve to die the way you died. Umandi Amar Mich Balonena, the opinion that says that he did make a macha, and it just wasn't listened to, Atmiya Metama, it was said Belashon Betmiya on the death of Avner. Hakamos Novel Yamos, should he die like a low life, like a novel? Yodechalo Asurus Raglechalo Nachashtim, that he didn't act like he was tied up and he couldn't do anything. He did whatever he could do. He didn't pretend that he was disabled from being able to try to stop things. He tried. So michti mechuyim machis, you made a macha. My time can fall from a bnei avla nefalta. Why did you have to die in such a terrible way? You didn't deserve it. So the mandi amar micha, according to the opinion that he made a macha, my time he yanish. Well, then why was he punished? Meaning we didn't explain why he died in such a way. If he actually made the macha, so I'm Rav Nachum Rabbi Yitzchak Shesha Malchus Beis David Shtei Shanim Mechza. It's what he had done prior to that he had delayed the Malchus Beis David by 2.5 years by supporting Ishbosheth after the death of Shaul, and Ishbosheth was Melech for 2 years, and then 6 months later, David HaMelech's Malchus finally began. So the delay of the Malchus Beis David by 2.5 years was what he was taken to task for. Ukashem Mavron also, when you do our Sudas Avra for a Melech, when he's in the Avel on a Korov, so we said he sits on a Dargash. So my Dargash, what exactly is a Dargash? Amula Arsa Degada. It's a special bed that they keep in the house that no one really uses. It's just there for good mazel. So Amula Rabbanu Lula Mik Amidi Dadin Lo Svinah V'Hashem Svinalei. Wait, so it's a bed that never gets used because it's just there for good mazel. And now, Dafka, at a time of Avelos, we're going to do something new to show extra kavod, to do more? That seems a little bit strange. You would think we pull back at a time of Avelos, not that we do more at a time of Avelos. So Maskav Rava, my Kushya, Rava says, why is that difficult to understand? Dilma midi dahava achilu v'shtiyah, just like when it comes to the food and drink that we give him. Dada inna lo achilu v'loshkineh. Up until now, no one was feeding him. Hashta kom achilu v'kom ashkinaleh. Now we have a din of Suda Savra that people are supposed to provide for the Avel. So maybe as far as this kavod as well, that we're knowing certain kavod, that we're not knowing all the time. Eli ikasha ha-kasha. If you have a kasha on the dargesh and Ula's understanding of the dargesh, the following should be the kasha. Dargesh eno tzarech l'chvoso, that a dargesh does not require kfiyas amito, which is one of the nihugei avelus that one is supposed to do during Shiva, is to turn the bed upside down. Ela zokfo, they just stand it up on its side. But v'yisal kadai tacharsa degada, if it's this mita that's made just for good mazel, ameno tzarech l'chvoso, why would it not require kfiyas amita? V'atayne, doesn't the Brisa tell us that a kofes mitaso, when one does kfiyas amita, lo mitaso bilvadu kofa, el kol mita shesh v'toch besohu kofa, it's not just a kfiyas amita that he does on his own bed, he does a kfiyas amita on all of the beds in his entire house. So shouldn't the dargesh be included in that as well? That's the problem with saying the dargesh is this special bed that's just for good mazel. So my kushya says, well, why is that so hard that we don't do kfiyas amita on the dargesh? Maybe it's similar to the mita that is designated just to hold kelim. No one sleeps on tikatani, because the Brisa says, if a bed was designated not to be used to be slept on, but just to hold kelim, then you don't do kfiyas amita on such a bed. So a mita that's designated just for mazel and not meant for sleeping, meaning when we say it means every mita that's designated for sleeping, even if it's not the Avel's bed, every mita that's designated for sleeping gets turned over. But if it's a mita that's not designated for sleeping, so it doesn't get turned over. So that's not the problem with a dargesh. Eli ikasha akasha. So rather a third try, what the problem is by saying that a dargesh is a bed that's lemazel tov. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, dargesh matir karbitin. Because Rav Shimon Gamliel says, when it comes to the dargesh, we undo its straps, v'hu nofa me'elav, and then it falls to the ground on its own, and that's the equivalent of a kfiyas amita. But v'isal kadai d'chasa d'gadah, if it looks like every other bed, karbitin mi'islay, most beds don't have straps, meaning what Rav Shimon Gamliel is describing about a dargesh is a different form of kfiyas amita, because you can't do the regular kfiyas amita on a dargesh. Well, if a dargesh is just a regular bed for a different purpose, then you should be able to do a regular kfiyas amita on a dargesh. It's not physically different than a regular bed. Elu kiyasa amar, yes, Ravin Amar, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said, Amar li umi rabbanon, v'rav tachlifa shemei, the Rav Tachlifa told me, Dav Shchiach B'Shukah D'Gildai, he used to be around the marketplace where people who worked with leather worked, Va'amarlei, and he said to them, my dargesh, you ever heard of a dargesh? So they said, Arsa D'Tzala, it's a bed made out of leather that was spread out over a frame, and they would have straps on the edge of the leather that held it onto the frame. So they would tie it to the frame as a way of using it as a bed. So since it looked different than a regular bed, so the kfiyas amita is going to be different than a regular kfiyas amita. So I'm Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Rabbi Yochanan, dargesh seirugo mitocho, that a dargesh, the derech was that the weave of the dargesh was in these holes along the frame of the bed, meaning that they would hold the mattress, so to speak, or the part that you would lie on to the frame was that there were these holes in the frame that you could stick the strings in to hold it on. Whereas a mita siruga me'al gaba, whereas a mita, the siruga is over the frame. It's not through the frame. It's not into the holes in the frame. So meisvei, they asked, but wait, it says in Maseches Kelim, kliyets me'emesai mekabel tumah. When are kliyets mekabel tumah? At what point are they considered a kli to be mekabel tumah? Hamita v'arisa, when it comes to a bed or a crib of a baby, so it's Misha Yeshupe Ba'or HaDag. It's when you smooth out the frame with a fish skin in order to make it nice and smooth. It shouldn't have too many splinters. That's the Gemar Malacha. But v'mita musragas me'al gaba, but if the way a mita is made is that the straps go over the frame, so the wooden frame is not exposed anyway, lama li shifa sara dag, why do they need to smooth it out to remove the splinters? That would only be necessary if the splinters were, if the frame was exposed. Ela hava hamitocha, must be that both of them go through the frame. Mita ule vafuke pibizione, but by the mita, it goes through these long holes, whereas dargesh uleva fuke bavkasa, whereas by a dargesh there are loops that hang off of the frame, and that's what attaches to the bed, that the bed attaches not to the actual frame itself but to the loops that hang off of the frame. Amar Yaakov Rav Shimon Levi, Alach Rav Shimon Umliel. We pass from Rav Shimon Umliel that the way to do kfiyas hamita on a dargesh is by untying the straps, and it falls and it naturally falls to the floor. Amar Rav Yaakov Rami, mita shenachlita yotzin zokfa v'dayo. If you have a bed that has two poles at each end, so you can't turn it upside down, it would be unstable, so we just flip it on its side as a form of kfiyas hamita. Good, so we had two opinions as far as what a dargesh was. We had three challenges to the first opinion. Now we move on to the next Mishnah. So says the Mishnah, what does a king do? What are his powers? He could bring the people to war to a Melchemes HaRashus. Melchemes HaRashus is any Melchama that's not a Melchemes Mitzvah. What is a Melchemes Mitzvah? So the Rambam writes in the fifth paragraph of Hilchos Melachim, Ezui Melchemes Mitzvah, Zu Melchemes Shivas Amimim, U Melchemes Amalek, Ve Ezras Yisrael Miad Tsar Shaba Aleihem. Right, that the definition of Melchemes Mitzvah is three things. It's the Shivas Amim, it's the Melchemes Amalek, and any time we're attacked. If we're attacked and we're defending ourselves from our enemies, that is always a Melchemes Mitzvah, right? So that's why the war right now is a Melchemes Mitzvah, because we were attacked by our enemies. A Melchemes HaRashus is a Melchama Shel Nilchem Im Shara Amim Kidei Laharchiv Gvul Yisrael Laharbos Begaduso Ushma'o. And Melchemes HaRashus is a war that is being fought to expand Eretz Yisrael, or to enhance the reputation of the Jewish nation in the world. So that's a Melchemes HaRashus. You're allowed to fight it if you have Rashus. So that has to be done al pi Bezin Shel Shivim Ve'Echad. That requires the approval of the Bezin Shel Shivim Ve'Echad, and then the king is allowed to lead people out to Melchemes HaRashus. In addition to that, Uporitz Lasel Soderech, a king can break through people's fences and properties in order to build himself a road. Ve'ein Mimacha and Biado, and no one could object to it. Derech HaMelech Ein Lo Shir, and he can make it as big as he wants. So because Derech HaMelech, there's no maximum limit to how large a road he's entitled to. Kalam Bozim Nelson Lo, when they take spoils of war from their enemies, they give him what they took, and he gets first choice of what to take from the spoils of war. These are the powers of a king. So first the Gemara says, well, wait a second. You're telling me now that a king can go to the Melchemes HaRashus, Alpi the Bezin Shel Shivim Ve'Echad Tanin Chadazimna. We only had one, you know, before this parak, we only had one Mishnah in the Masechta. And in that Mishnah, we already learned this. First Mishnah in the Masechta, we learned that. We already learned it, but now we're getting into Melech in Yanim. So now we're discussing everything. Meaning that was about Sanhedrin in Yanim and how many Dayanim you need. So we discussed everything related to a Sanhedrin and all the different things that you need 71 Dayanim for. This is Melech in Yanim, so there's overlap. So we talk about this halach as well. So now we discuss the Parshas HaMelech and Sefer Shmuel. Klal Yisrael asked for a Melech. Shmuel told them what a melech is going to be able to do. Pasuk says, "Vayomer zeya mishpat haMelech asher yimloch aleichem es pneichem yikach." He could take your children, the sum of merkavto, brush of rusel of merkavto. He could use them as his servants and as his chariot riders and things like that. V'lasam l'sari alavim, sari chamishim, lach rosh charishov, l'ksaksiro, v'lasas kli melchamto, kli richbo. He could use them for all sorts of jobs that he needs in the malchus. Ves pnoseichem yikach l'rakachus, l'tabachus, l'ofos. He could draft your daughters into being the bakers and the chefs and he could take all of your properties and just give it to his avadim. He could take everything you have, all your avadim, everything you have. He could take you to be his avadim. Seems like extreme powers that a king is given, according to the way Shmuel presents it to Klal Yisrael. So Amar Rabbi Amar Shmuel, Kalam Parshas Melech, Melech Mutar Bo. Shmuel says that anyone's, whatever it says there, it's true. A king could do all those things. Rav Amar Lo Nemar Parshas Zo, Ela La Ayem Aleihem. No, Shmuel was just trying to scare them that they shouldn't want a king. Shnemar Somtas Melech Melech Shetei Maso Alecha, or that they should have the proper attitude toward a king. So he's trying to scare them that you know what kind of fear and reverence you have to have for a king. This is the kind of power the man has. But it's not literally that he's allowed to do all those things. So Kitanai, so says Gemara, it's actually Machlokas Tanayim. Rabbi Yossi Amar Kolam Parshas Melech Melech Mutar Bo. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lonem Parshas Zuel Kedei La'ayim Aleihem. Same two opinions. Shemar Samtas Melech Melech Shtei Masa Alecha. V'cheino Yerubi Domer. Rabbi Yehuda L'shitasa tells us Sholosh Mitzvos Nistavu Yisrael B'knisasan La'aretz, that the Jewish people were commanded in three mitzvos when we enter Eretz Yisrael. La'amla Melech, first is to establish a monarchy, to establish a government. Second is to destroy Amalek, and third, to build the base of Bechira, to build the base of Mikdash. As Rav Shachter often points out, that the Ramban is in his Hakdama to Sefer Shemos, says that Sefer Shemos is called the Sefer HaGu'ula. Why is it called the Sefer HaGu'ula? So you would think it's because that's when we left Galus Mitzrayim. So he says, no, it's called Sefer HaGu'ula because that's where the Mishkan was built, at the end of the Sefer. And Mikdash, having a Makom HaShoras HaShechina, is the definition of Gu'ula. So Rav Shachter points out that, you know, people object to the term Aschalta de Gu'ula, Reishis Smichas Gu'ula Seinu, things like that. But it's the Gemara says there's a three-step process that leads to Livnos Lam Beis HaBechira, that culminates with Livnos Lam Beis HaBechira. Livnos Lam Beis HaBechira is code word for Geula. That's what we refer to as Geula. So what is the Reishis HaGeula? What is the beginning of the Geula? The beginning of the three-step process. And that is to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So when you establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, that's the beginning of Geula. Then, Lahach Rezara Shalom Aleich, we're trying. And then, ultimately, to live in the Sun Beis HaBechira. Rabbi Nurai Omer Lo Nemer Parsha Zu Ela Keneget Harumasan, that this whole Parsha of Samtas Melech HaMelech was only because of the complaints. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that they were going to complain that they didn't have a king, so we have this Parsha in the Torah. Shnemer, because the Pasuk says V'amarta Asim Alai Melech, that the Torah predicts that they're going to say we would like to have a king. But there's no mitzvah to establish a king, and it's only the other two things that are a mitzvah. To Lahach Rezar Shalmayik and Livnal Sam Beis HaBechira. Tanya, Rav Lezor, Mezikanim Shabadar, the Kahogan Shalu. The Zikanim in the generation of Shmuel, when they asked for a melech, were asking in a totally appropriate way. Shenemar, Tanei Lanu Melech L'Shaftenu. They wanted someone who can keep them in line. What was going on in the period of the Shoftim was nuts. You know, the stories that you have at the end of Sefer Shoftim was total chaos. They realized that they need a melech. So Aval Amei Aretz Shaban, but the Amei Aretz Kilkalu, they were asking for the wrong motives. Shemar Vayinu Gam Anachnu Kichol Agoyim, we want to be like all the other Goyim. Ushafatnu Malkenu V'yatzal Lefanenu, we want our king to be, you know, a source of pride for us. But that was not, that's not, you're supposed to be talking about Kodesh Baruch Hu to do those things if you need someone to keep you in line. So good, that's a good thing to ask for. Tanya, Rabbi Yosef Mishol Shmishon Savi Sol B'Knisas Nelaretz. We had three mitzvahs when we came into Eretz Yisrael. Lama L'melech Ha'chazar Shalmayich Livnos Lam Beis HaBechira. V'eni Yodei Eiz Men Tchila. But which one comes first? So Kshu Omer, when the Pasuk says, Ki Yad Al Keis Ka Milcham El HaShem B'Amalek Midar Dar, it says, Havi Omer L'ham L'melech Tchila. So you see that having a melech is first. V'in Kisei El Melech. Because Kisei means a melech. Shnem Rav Yishuv Shlomo Al Kisei HaShem L'melech. But I still wouldn't know. Should they build the base of Mikdash first, or should they knock off Amalek first? So Kshomer, when the pasuk says in Dvarim, and then Vayamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem. So first you get rid of the enemies, and then the Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem. Havayomer Lachrazar Shalom Malik Tchila. You see, getting rid of Amalek takes precedence. V'chein B'Davidu Omer, Vayik Yashav Amalek Davidu Veisav Hashem Biniach Lo Misaviv. Hashem leaves him alone from his enemies. Uksiv Vayomer Lachal. And then all of a sudden he expresses interest in building Beis HaMikdash. Only when the enemies stop, only when he gets rid of the enemies, is it time to build the Beis HaMikdash. Amrei Shlakish, B'tchila Melech Shlomo al Elyonim. Shlomo Melech initially was the Melech over even the Elyonim, even the Tzva Shemayim. Shnerma V'yeshev Shlomo al Kisei Hashem, Ulubesov Melech al Tachtonim. But after he married Nashim Nachrios, his Malchus was diminished to only down here. Shnemar Kiyu Roda B'chol Ever Anar Mitivsach v'yad aza. Rav Shmuel chad amar tifsach b'sof ha'olam v'aza b'sof ha'olam. These were two ends of the world, and he ruled the entire thing. V'chad amar tifsach v'aza b'ade adadi av'yasvi. They were right next to each other. K'shem shemalach al tifsach v'yad aza, kach malach al kol olam kulo. And what it's expressing to us is that just like he ruled over these two places, he ruled over the entire world. L'b'sof l'malach ela al Yisrael. But in the end, his malchus was diminished further to only the Jewish people. Shnamar anikwal sisi melech al Yisrael. Ul'b'sof l'malach ela al Yerushalayim. Then diminished to Yerushalayim. Shnamar divri kolos ben David melech b'Yerushalayim. L'b'sof l'malach ela al mitaso. And then only on his own mita. Shnamar yinei mitaso shel shamo. Ul'b'sof l'malach ela al maklo. Only on his own stick. Shnamar v'zei chelki mikol amali. Rav Shmuel chad amar maklo v'chad amar gundo. One says his makl is walking stick. The other one says his beged was what all that he was left with. So hadar alo hadar. So he had all this power. All of it was diminished. Did it ever return? So Rav Shmuel machlokas chad amar hadar. One of them says yes, it went back. V'chad amar lo hadar, that he never went back to the full power. So mandi amar lo hadar, the one that said he didn't go back to his malchus because malach melech v'hediot. He was a melech and then he became a hediot, a regular person. Umandi amar hadar, the one that says that he did go back to his original power, holds melech hediot v'melech, that he had the power, went down, and then he retrieved all of that power toward the end of his life. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots at the bottom of the page. Everyone have a great day.